Okay, we're picking up two lines from the bottom of Lamed Ches. Amud Beis. Our learning is once again sponsored by Le'ilui Nishmas Sholam Espas Yaakov and Neshama Shel Avin Aliyah. We're continuing in our discussion of the halachas of Birkas Kohanim. The Gemara now asks, Ibayluhu Tzadin Mahu. What's the halacha with those who are standing on the sides of the Kohanim? We mentioned that, right, if they're in front of them, like they're facing them, then that's the best. That's Panim Keneged Panim. If they are behind them, then they're not Michal Bracha, we mentioned. They're not part of the Bracha. So the Shaila the Gemara is wondering now is, what about if they are on the sides? What if they're their sides? That's the Shaila. Is the sides in front of them or directly on the sides of them? That's going to be a question we'll get to in the Maskana. The Gemara says, Amar Abba Mar Bar of Ashi. Toshma, we can bring a raya from the Mishnah. This nun is Gavin Lahazos Lefanov turning on to Lametesim and Afna. Vahizalacharov. Lacharov is a Lefanov. Hazaaso psula. So here we're talking about a case where we're talking about a person who is tame mace, or even a kli that became, was touched by something that became tame, became a rishon latuma. So the halacha is, if it touched a dead body, it could become an avatuva. So then you would need to do hazaa shlishi vishvi. You would have to sprinkle the ashes of the efer paraduma onto the item on the third and seventh day, and then the kli or the person would become tahor. So again, this is only if it was a mace, if it was in a room of a mace, or it touched a mace, that's the halacha with a kli on a person. So now, if the kohen who was performing this decided had in mind to do it in front of him, but by accident it went behind him, or vice versa, it meant to throw it behind him onto the kli and it went in front of him, so the halacha is the hazah, the sprinkling is not good, as Rashi points out, because we need kavana. The Va'inan Kavana Rashi says, "Latara k'dichsev v'hiza Torah latame shiemes kavin loy." That we have a drasha that you need to have kavana for the right place. However, says the Mishnah, "Lafana v'hiza al tzadin shebefanav is also k'shira." If he intended to sprinkle the waters in front of him, and he sprinkled it to the side in front of him, then that's going to be kosher and it is going to be good, because the entire area in front of him is considered. The interior, even on the side of him, is considered in front of him. So that's discussing the case where you didn't have a specific kli in mind, but you had the ones in front of him, and that would be good. That's what we see from over here. So we're making the tushta, making the comparison to the case of Birkas Kohanim. The people standing anywhere in front of the Kohanim, even at an angle, are definitely going to be included in the bracha. The ones behind him are not. What is left unanswered, that's what the Achronim point out. What's left unanswered, what about is the area directly to the sides of the Kohanim? So the Menagolim I've always seen is people are machmer about that. They move behind a little bit. They move backwards in the shul so that the Kohanim will be facing them. That's the din over here. That would be the case. So we see that in the front of the sides, the front of the. It is interesting though. The Gemara said before on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, I believe. Yeah, on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara mentioned the idea of panim keneged panim. So where does that play in? Meaning, we definitely see that there's an inyan to be directly, not just to the front and the sides of them. Meaning, like if you're on the corner of them, that's fine. If you're behind the kohanim, but is there an inyan lechatchila to be directly panim keneged panim with the kohanim? It seems to be yes, that there would be a nice idea for sure. I don't have a chance to look more than that, but I have seen people who are b'machmer about that they go directly next to the kohanim. So now the Gemara continues. Quick question: why we're mentioning this? But we're mentioning now. We're going to mention a halacha of Kriya Satora. Now, in the middle of what we're mentioning, some say because it was a similar amount to Amar. The Gemara says, Amar Rava Barav Huna, Kemach Niftach Sefer Torah. Once the Sefer Torah has been opened, Asr Lesapra, Afilib Dvar Lach. You're not allowed to discuss, you're not allowed to talk, and even in learning, it's Asr to talk. Even Halachic Shailash, Nemar, Pitcho Amdu Kola Am. The Pasuk over here is talking about, Pasuk in Nehemiah, is talking about the first day of Rosh Hashanah, after Yerushalayim was rebuilt. So the Yidden that were in Bavel, all who came up from Agalos Bavel, came to hear Ezra read from the Sefer Torah. And the Pasuk says, "V'yiftach Ezra Sefer le'enei kol ha'am, kime'al kol ha'amayah, kipischom du kol ha'am." He opened up the Sefer Torah before everybody, and he was on a flat board above them, and then he began reading, all the people were standing up. So it's a little about standing for Kriyas Torah, but we're not mentioning that right now. So Rashi understands that kipischom means when he started the Kriya Satir. That's the Rashi. Rambam disagrees. And the Shulchan Aruch goes like the Rambam. We're machmer like this. The Shulchan Aruch mentions in Kuf Bem Vav, Siv Beis, quoting the Rambam, that the halacha is you're not allowed to already read even from when first Aliyah starts. Meaning when the first Aliyah starts till the end of the laning, you're not allowed to talk, even between Aliyahs. That is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Bach deals with it. The fact that many people seem to be, at least in between Aliyahs, people are definitely, during Kriya Satir, there's no etter whatsoever. It's a chil Hashem. You're not allowed to talk during Kriya Satir, but in between Aliyahs, that is, there are, the Bach is trying to be mastic that the fact that some do it, but at the end of the day, it's pretty clear. You're not should be talking, you should not be talking even in between aliyahs. Even in between aliyahs, you should not be talking in shul. Veina mida ela shtika. And obviously standing means that they were standing quietly. That's what it means over there. Shenemar v'chalti ki lo yidabru ki amdu lo anu od. That the pasuk is saying, I waited for they didn't speak, and they stood, and I did not respond anymore. So this is referring to the fact that they were silent. They stood in silence, and this is done during Kriyas HaTorah. So again, over here we learn that a person is supposed to be listening carefully, but it's not mamash achiyuv to stand for the Kriyas HaTorah. But that is the minhag that we over there. Kof Mevav Mishnah Berurah quotes that there are those who are machmir to stand as an extra level of kavod for the Kriyas Sefer Torah, as I mentioned, and that is the minhag amongst many Ashkenazim. Al Pi Ariza, although there's like dafka and inin to sit, which is why Chasidim and Sfardim, they'll always be sitting for Kriyas HaTorah. That's the bracha is all another shayla. The baruchu lechor is davar k'shibik dusha. So even Chassidim who are sitting, once that's my grandma, it's arachim on this. So even if we sit for Kriyas HaTorah, at least for the baruchu, the bracha, we should be standing because we just like we stand for Kaddish. Like we're machmir Sfardim, they have the different Masorah. They hold that the Yerushalmi never said such a thing, and they hold that you're all allowed to sit for davar k'shibik dusha. Fine. But for Ashkenazim, though, they don't generally follow that psak for Kaddish and baruchu and everything like that, we do stand. So lechora, the baruchu before the Kriyas HaTorah is a big shaila why you would be allowed to be sitting. Okay, but that's the halacha. Now the Gemara continues. This is the pasuk that you mentioned. Everyone was listening carefully to the Sefer Torah. So this is discussing the reading, and that's also halacha. We see that you're not allowed to be talking about anything else. Tosfos has a kasha when Rav Sheshes would turn his head and start learning. He said in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, and he said, "You guys are doing your thing. I'm going to be learning." So Tosa's answer is no, but if he was turning around showing that he wasn't part of the Tzibur, that might be better. That learning is going to be, at least for himself, would be okay. Or Tosa's give another answer because Rav Sheshes was blind. There's a special out there for Rav Sheshes, and how it manifests in Talacha is a very fascinating thing, but that's what Tosa's point out. Now the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Yishob ben Levi, Kol Kohen Shelo Nato Yadav Lo Yisos Kapa. But Kohen doesn't wash his hands, he should not do the Birkos. Kohenim Shenemar Su Yidachem Kodesh, Avarachos Hashem. He should lift your hands in Kedusha, and then bless Hashem, and that is referring to the Kohanim at the, before they bless Klal Yisrael, they should be washing their hands. So this is similar to the idea of Kiddush Shadayim Raglayim that was done in the Beis Hamikdash before they did an Avoda. So here, this is like a type of Avoda, which they're doing is they're giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael. I saw that in the name of the Brisker Rav, he was so machmir to wait for, he's like, the Torah tells you there's a bracha, it's a waiting, so he used to like wait around if there wasn't two Kohanim, you wait for the mitzvah to rise, so we're going to see. We did see that already, the Kohanim calling them up, but that's the idea, the Brisk Rav used to wait so carefully, he used to wait for like 45 minutes, they'll get two Kohanim to be joining the minyan because he wanted to make sure that they had Birkas Kohanim, and the idea is that they have to wash their hands in order, because it's like a similar to an avoda and a giving a bracha, that Kosh Baruch Hu says to give. Now the Gemara doesn't say what point they have to wash their hands. So that's the big shaila, big machlokas, even in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a machlokas between the Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi seems to imply over here that there's dafka and inyan to make the bracha right before. Lefnei alos l'duchan, it sounds like you should be washing right before doing the Birkos Kohanim. The Rambam holds that as long as you washed before davening and you kept your hands clean, you would not need to wash again. So lechachila, it's mentioned for sure, the Kohen should be washing again. That's why we go during, we're machmir for the Rambam, so they leave during Chazaras HaShatz to go wash. Now, even more than that, there's another inyan also that they should have in mind, because there's a shayla about the bracha also. Maybe they should be making a bracha, because it's a chiyuv for them to be washing. So since the Safek brachas, we say not to make the bracha, so they should have in mind when, I double check that point, but that's how I always remember it. Just double check that if you're going and make sure that you don't make the bracha before, but they should have in mind when they're making an al netilas yadayim and netilas yadayim shel shachar is to have in mind the washing that they will do later when they are going up leduchen. That's the best thing to be doing, and they should go. Now, b'diavad, if your person did not have a chance to wash his hands because he had a longer Shemona Esrei and he was Marach Shemona Esrei, but he knew his hands were clean, so then I think we rely on the Shita of the Rambam that would say that it is okay and he can still go do the duchening. Okay, fascinating Gemara over here. Shalom Tamid of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammah, B'mei Arach Tayyamim, what did you live so long? What did you think is the schus that you live so long? Amar Lahen, he said to me, Amar Lahasisi, Beis HaKnesses Kapandria. I never made a shortcut from the shul. It's Aser. to make a shortcut from the shul, which is why that it seems to be a problem with this idea, because the whole idea is we're after them, and what did you go above and beyond? Like just keeping a halacha that everybody has to keep halacha. That's not just a was chus for arichas yamin. So that's the shaila. So some explain that Rabbi Lazar meant that he was saying that he avoided doing this even when he was permitted to do so in a case where the shortcut was before they'd even built the shul there. And then he built, al pialachi let it go, that's covered for the basic necessities, he didn't do that, that was his chumrah. But the pasati al roshay am kodesh, he never stepped on the heads of the holy Klal Yisrael. What is this talking about? In the times of the Gemara, so they used to have in the Mishnah that people would be learning on the floor. They'd be learning on the floor in the Beis Medrash. So he would pass them. If he'd pass them to reach his spot, it would have looked like he had like walking on top of them. So to avoid that, seemed to be a lack of kavod towards the Talmid Chachamim or learning. Again, he was a great tzaddik and a rav. Rabbi Lazar used to either come first, or if he was later, he would only wait on the entrance to the Beis Knesses, not to look like he was doing anything improper for those people walking above them. He didn't want to do that. And he was a kohen. He says, I never did Birkas Kohanim without a bracha beforehand, which is another big shaila. What does that mean? That saying a bracha before Birkas Kohanim lechura is a chiyuv. Just like every mitzvah that we do, there's a brachas a mitzvah beforehand. So how is it that this is not why is this a maila over here? So there's many different explanations given to this very big question. The Meirim, the Agra Kotzis, they understand that the bracha wasn't this brachas a mitzvah wasn't a chiyuv. It was the Kohanim who were careful would say the bracha, but it wasn't a full-fledged chiyuv. Generally, you do have a berachas mitzvah, but over here is an exception. Since the mitzvah itself is something which is a bracha, you don't necessarily need to make another bracha before that. Similar to the famous question that the Rashba asked, why don't we make a bracha on benching? Why don't we make a bracha on benching? Shereke deshanu mitzvah v'tzivanu al berachas amazon. So that is the Rashba says that the whole mitzvah d'oraisa is the bracha, so you don't have to make a bracha on the bracha. So here, similarly, they're giving a bracha, so you don't necessarily have a chiyuv to make a bracha on a bracha. So that's how some explain it. Others explain that maybe it was talking about musaf, and that was a shaila, was they have to make a bracha musaf. He was saying, I'm machmer to make another bracha already, even if I said the bracha already once, I would make a bracha again if I was duchening, if I was doing the birkas kohanim another time. Now the gemara says, ki'akar kari, when the kohen lifts his feet, so then, my Amar, what does he say? We're talking about Ritzeh. He has to go up by Ritzeh. We saw yesterday's daf. So he says the following tefillah. Yiratzim afanecha, Kohanim says Aryam. Hashem Elokeinu, Shetehei bracha zu, Shetehei levarach samcha Yisrael, and lo yeh bal michshal ve'avon, and there should not be any bad things blocking the brachas. And there shouldn't be anything blocking the bracha. V'chimehad ha'api mitzibura, when the Kohen turns his face, to face the Aron, he says, my Amar, so the Gemara says, Adrab Rafisa the Ravukva Vidara. Shavchista said Ravukva to learn that the Kohan says the following. So Rafista taught this and he said it publicly. What was it? Ribbono shel Olam. Asina Mashik Zarat Aleinu. We did what you told us. Asay Imanu, so you should now, turning on to Lama Tesla and Bez, you should now do Mashif Tachtanu, what you have promised us. Hashkifa Mamalan Kochamin Ashamayim. You should look down, Uvarech Hamcha Yisrael, Vesa Damash and Satalano Kashinish Batal Vasino Arazavas, Khalav Udvash. That is the bracha which they say. Amar of Chis, Rav Chis says, Eina Kohanim Hashem Lakov Kishre Etz Paseya, and the Kohanim are not permitted to bend their fingers, Ad Shech Zupanem El Tzibur, until they turn their faces from the Tzibur, meaning Birkas Kohanim, their hands were lifted up right by their shoulders, and they were open their fingers in the way you've ever seen a Kohen do it. That's how they're supposed to open their fingers. So until they turn away from giving a bracha, they have to keep their hands showing kavod to the bracha that he gave to the kohen. That's the din over here. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Chista, Ena Kor Rasha Likros Kohanim. So the Makri cannot read say Kohanim Ad Sheikh Le Amen Peat Zibor until they say Atov Shemcha Lachan El Hodos. Everybody has to answer Amen, and only after that point can he say Kohanim. Ena Kohanim Rasha Laskel Be Bracha. The Kohanim also similarly cannot begin their bracha until the words Ashiach LeDibur B'Mekor, until the guy completely finishes the words Koyhanim, Vina Tibur Rashin Lanos Amen, and the Tibur cannot answer Amen to the Berkas Kohanim Ashiach LeBracha M'Piach Kohanim, until the Kohanim completely finish the bracha. And if they violate this din, that would be what the Gemara Brachos talks about. I believe that's Amen Yisom. No, there's Ketufa and Yisom. I was getting confused which one is defined as what, but they're both not good. You're not supposed to be saying Amen before the guy finishes the bracha. And I always forget the Gemara has two different lashonos. One is answering Amen too long away, and one is answering it too quick before the guy finishes the bracha. That would fall into this category, which the Gemara over there has a very harif punishment for somebody who does not say Amen properly. But Ena Kodim Rashin Laskel Bracha Acharis. The Kodim cannot right after they say Vishmaracha, until, let's say, and now they can't go to Ya'er, until the Tzibur says Amen, you hear them say Amen only then. People are not always so careful about this. The Kohanim sometimes are in such a rush. Baruch Hashem, right, it's always the schus of having Birkas Kohanim every single day, and that's a very big thing. We get the bracha from the Kohanim. I got it in Chutz La'aretz. I saw that I'm reading their Rav Shimon biography. He used to be machmir to always go to a Sephardi shul to hear Birkas Kohanim. He'd always try to go to hear Birkas Kohanim even in Chutz La'aretz. He went a few times. It's unbelievable. He went like when he was like 92, 95. Unbelievable. He went to go give chizuk in Chutz La'aretz. He went to France. He went to South America somewhere even. He went to New York. It was more famous. He went to Lakewood. He gave chizuk to Chutz La'aretz. Anyway, so he would be machmir to go hear that. He wanted to hear Birkas Kohanim even in Chutz La'aretz. And he would go here from there. So now, so that is the din over here, that the Kohanim are not allowed to say the Psukim until they're finished. Now, the din of the Yivarechacha is a very fascinating thing, that the Rambam says that the first word of Yivarechacha, because the whole idea of the guy calling out, is that you shouldn't get confused. Yivarecha, you're not going to get confused. The Rambam says that Yivarecha, the Kohanim, some Sephardic communities do this. They'll just say Yivarecha right away, without the Chazan telling them. So then, obviously, they follow that Kehila, that's what they would do. Others, what we do is that all of them, we say even Yivarechecha, we say that as well. This is similar din, actually, Machlokas and Shaila, with regards to Tekiah Shofar. The whole idea of the Makri is that the Baal Tekiah shouldn't get confused. So the very first Tekiah, after you finish Makal, Shofar and Shechianu, so maybe he should just blow the first Tekiah without having to be told Tekiah by the Makri. You're not going to get confused about the very first one. So then others say, no, that's it. It's a low plug. We say, no, we shouldn't be making it. Minhag Olam is in most places in Yeshiva, actually, where I go, they do this din. They actually don't say the first Tekiah, but the Minhag Olam in many other places that I've been to is, I haven't been to so many places in my life, but the places I have been to, they do say the first Tekiah as well. And that's the Minhag of Ashkenaz, and we do say the Yivarechacha as well for the din of Birkas Kohanim. Now the Gemara continues, V'amar Rizir, Amar Rav Chista, in Akonim Rashan, Lachzir Pnei Min HaTzibur, Ad Shil Yaskel, Shil Tzibur, Besim Shoylem. So, after saying Birkas Kohanim, the Kohanim are not permitted to turn their faces from and face the Aron until the Chazan is continuing the next bracha, which is Sim Shalom. It's also the din that the Kohanim are pretty Baruch Hashem. They're pretty familiar with this, but they should. Eretz Yisrael, they really need to be familiar. They're doing it every day, so they really have to know these halachas. They're not allowed to leave the Duchen where they're doing Birkas Kohanim at Shigmar Shneach Tzibur Sim Shalom until the actual end of Sim Shalom, and only then do they leave their platform? Do they leave where they were standing on the duchen and go down? And then that's the end of the Birkas Kohanim. So from there we see the whole process again. It's the whole thing from Ritzay. They would have to go up, and there they would say the tefillah, and they would try to finish. The Magen Avraham points out they should actually try to finish the tefillah exactly when the Shliach Tzibur gets to Amen, in order that the chazan's Amen of Toshim Chalachan Elado should end with their tefillah. The Kilo, they're saying Amen to their tefillah as well. And then you have the Kohanim, they turn around and give the bracha. This is a big shaila that wasn't mentioned in the Gemara. At what point do they start facing the Tzibur? That's a very big shaila. The Rambam writes that they should, I forgot who holds what. There's Machlokas Rambam and the Meiri, so I'm not going to say who holds what. The Rambam and the Meiri of Machlokas. One holds that they face the Aron the entire time. Then they turn around. And the other man therefore says no, that they're already before the bracha, since they're about to be mevarach, and it's over l'siyos, and they should already be facing the Kila the entire time. They should be facing the Kila the entire time. So it's a very fascinating thing. One of the very few times in Halacha that we do this, at least Ashkenazim, is what do? We do Asher Kedushanu B'Kedushaso L'Shal Aharon, and in the middle of the bracha, they turn around. It's even like to be Mekayim both Shitas, or maybe neither Shita, but they're Mekayim, at least a Pshara to both Shitas. I once gave a vart of why I thought this is done, is that we're going to see that it has to be Ba'ava. It has to be the love. If a Kohen is hated by anybody in the Tzibur, somebody hates a Kohen, or the Kohen hates somebody, he's not allowed to Duchen. He's not allowed to Duchen. He's not allowed to Duchen. So to love Klal Yisrael is a very hard thing. To be somebody who loves Klal Yisrael is a very hard thing to do. So what do we tell them? You have to make compromises in order to love Klal Yisrael. In the bracha itself, there's a machlokas. Okay, we're showing you. Make a compromise right now and do the bracha in between. And then turn around in the middle of the bracha. That was just the vort I once said in the explaining the minhag olam. Now the Gemara continues. The Tzibur is not allowed to answer Amen. This is a different halacha now. We're talking about the guy who's in the times of the Mishnah, they used to, the one who was called up, some Sephardim still do this, the one who's called up would be the only one who was reading. He'd be the one who's reading the Torah. So you cannot answer, just talking about the Korah, is the one who's getting the Aliyah. He would make the bracha, so until he says Amen, he's not allowed to read. Enakor Rasha Likros Batorah, and similarly the Balkore, the one who's getting up the Liar, or nowadays the Balkore, cannot start at Sheikhlam Piratim until everybody finishes the idea of Amen, which is the Minag Olam developed. Why does the Balkore say Amen much longer than everybody else? In order, that's what they brought down. We should bring explains down as an explanation for this minhag, in order to tell everybody that to show that hey, we're about to start Kriyas Torah, and he goes Amen, and he says it a little bit louder than everybody, and then he starts. What's wrong though is what the Bar Mitzvah boys do is that they learn to say this Amen, which is fine somewhat if they're marich in a little bit, but they shouldn't be saying it when they find a place like a minute later. Amen is going on the bracha, so that's a very the they have to learn this. Sometimes the Bar Mitzvah boys are not, the Bar Mitzvah the teachers are not careful, I don't know why, to teach the boys who are learning that when they're saying Amen, the Amen is to the bracha. So they have to say Amen to the bracha and then look for the place. Wherever long it takes, that's fine. But the idea is that they're saying Amen to the bracha, not when they find the place like a minute later. Now the Gemara continues, in a Sargon, Rashal has to Metargum. The Metargum is not permitted to begin the translation until the reading of the psukim are done from the chazan. The reader is not permitted to begin and the person who's translating cannot continue. Basically, each person has to wait till it's completely finished. There's also a problem with chazanim doing Eretz Yisrael a lot also, is that they don't wait for the Kohen to fully finish it. They say Yivarecha, and the Kohen, they're Marech, so they say Yivarecha, they already start sometimes. They'll start the next word, Hashem. They'll start the word Hashem before the Kohen are completely finished. You have to wait. It's an extra split. So we're talking about an extra maybe 10 seconds of all Berakos Kohanim. And Chazanim are not careful. You have to tell them also they should wait till the Kohen is completely finished with their bracha as well. So now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Rabbi Shimon Levi. After Benavi, the one who's doing Haftorah, the one who is going to be reading the Navi on Shabbos, Tzarech Sheyikra B'Torah Tefillah. He has to. That's why we give him maftir. The whole idea of maftir is not counted under Shiva Olim. It's an extra aliyah that we give. It's not. It's a whole shaila in the Gemara Megillah. It's machlokas. Whether it's ola or eina ola, we hold that lechumra. We actually, really, we would hold that it is ola. But to show that it's not, it's a different thing. So we really give an eighth aliyah. This was actually nogea in times of Corona, where the same guy was getting the same aliyah. There was no reason to add that aliyah. The whole reason was to give it to someone else and give it the extra aliyah. So then that was, we actually went back to the regular din of only having seven aliyahs without the shvi can become maftir. But okay, the idea of a maftir is that he has to get an aliyah first. Why is shikr v'torah p'tichilah? To show that it's not to give the same level. Nevi'im and k'suvim are amazing, but they're not on the same level of Torah, which is given to Piyakash Baruch Hu directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is on a higher level. So therefore, we want to give primacy, if that's a word, the primary reading to the Kriyas HaTorah. V'yam Rabbi Tamcha Moshe B'Levi, in after Rosh Halafter B'Navi Achi Yigal HaSefer Torah, that he's not allowed to start the Haftorah until the Galila has been done. In order that they should not be distracted from the person who's doing Galila to be able to, that's one of the reasons that they shouldn't be distracted from hearing the Haftorah. If that's the case, you have to wait till the guy is completely done with Galila. You can't just finish rolling and then he's still putting on the gartel and the cover. You have to wait for him to be completely finished. Others explain that no, that the whole reason is because we want to make sure that you don't leave the Torah unrolled. So as long as he's finished rolling it, so at the very least the Torah is completely rolled, so then already the guy can start. It'd be enough kamina. The Maisa were machmir, I believe. The minig olam is to be machmir, except for I was once in a chasidish minim, which they weren't. There's what to rely on. The Prima Ganim explains the other way, but the Shita Rashi, and it seems to be the standard approach, is that you have to wait. If the golel is completely chayav in what you're about to do, then you would have to wait. Which comes, it's a nogel Maisa also for Nisach Sfar minins. When they don't say like Ashkenazim Yahalu, so there you have to wait anyway, because the chazan's not going to take the Torah before it's finished. But when it comes to a Nisach Sfarad minion on Shabbos, so they will, they go right into Ashrei. So they go right into Ashrei, so you let it start Ashrei before the guy finishes Galila. So if you've ever been to Nisach Sfarad minion, they're already done with Ashrei, the guy's finished with the, so the answer is yeah, because the Ashrei, the guy doesn't have to say it this moment, and even if he can say it while doing the Galila, and it's not a problem, so therefore we assume that that is something which you're allowed to do while the guy's doing Galila. Even the Hiratzon is a Shail also. The Hiratzon also, we say the same idea, that he can answer it, that's fine, and you would be allowed to start them even while the guy is in the midst of doing Galila. Next, Talachav Amr B'Tanachon Amr B'Shem Levi. That the person is not permitted to take off the part of they used to have a covering for the Sefer Torah out of respect for the Sefer Torah. So this is a din that really isn't regular, but in their times they used to They used to have a gabai who would like take off their stuff from on the Sefer Torah when it was on the bima and bring it. They would like lock it up in a special place. They didn't want to leave it in the shul or afraid people would steal it. So they had a special safe that they'd put it outside. So when he was doing this, we're saying that you're not supposed to be the sibor is not supposed to take it off. Well, while the tzibur is there because of it's covered for them. So that's the idea over here. But they shouldn't be leaving the shul until the Sefer Torah is put in its place. Which means, in the time of, again, over there, it means that they was leaving the shul. And so he's telling us they're not allowed to leave until they remove it from the bima. And that, otherwise it's a bizayon for the Sefer Torah that you're leaving. That they're not allowed until it has left the shul completely. Either some say that started leaving its place or completely left the shul. Rabbi Shimon Levi is talking about a case where there's another doorway. Where Shmuel is referring to a case where there is no other doorway. So when it has two exits, as soon as the Sefer Torah is removed, so then it's not considered a Bizayon if there is. There would be a bizayon according to Shmuel if there's no other doorway, and that's why you'd have to be machmir. I'm a Rava Bar Ahinas Aspir Libar. Ahina explained this to me. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teleich. You should follow Hashem, which is the Torah over here. It's following in a sense Kiilu Kaviachol, like we're following Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And this is referring to the case where the Sefer Torah is in the shul. It should be followed in order to show covered for it. So the Rama points out that based on this din, it follows that somebody, it's at least the people who are doing the Hagbah and the Glila, they should be following the Torah because they just dealt with it. So they're bringing back the Aron. So the Shias are bringing back the Aron. They should be following it. People are not familiar with this halacha. I say all the time, the Magbi and the Glila, they don't follow the Sefer Torah. If you're getting Hagbah or Glila, the halacha is, you're supposed to follow the Sefer Torah. And not only that, the Rama also points out that anybody who passes also should try to be following it. Again, maybe a Dalai Lama's, but at least it's sometimes not practical if you have, you know, hundreds of people in the shul, but most of the time it is because most people don't do it, so you could do it. It's a nice practice based on the din of the Gemara over here, and it definitely should be something, which is, I always tell Gedolim or Neventhal or Shechter, they try to follow it along when it goes past them. So now the Gemara continues, So when the Kohanim are giving a bracha, what do they, the people say? To show that they're appreciated having the bracha from the Kohanim. Amar Bizirim Rav Chista, Baruch Hashem Alachav, Gibre Koyach, Lusim Alchama, Baruch Hashem Shavad, Meshat Avasir, Tzon Al Kumas, Av Akomim, Shad Baruch Hanavshi, Es Hashem. So these are the three psukim, so the three brachas that were offered by the Kohanim. So we say three psukim in comparison to that. So that's going to be a shayla, whether we say them at all, as long as we're not familiar with them, because we don't, but that's going to be later. So the Gemara points out, the Musafei Dishabasa, Mayan Omrim. So when the Kohanim are given the bracha during Musaf HaShabbos Mayan, what do the people say back? So it's a special day, a special time. So the Gemara says, Amar Avasi, Shira Malos, and Yabarachos Hashem, Kolav De Hashem, Suidim Chodesh Barachos Hashem, Barachos Hashem, Tzion Shechan Yishlayim, Haluka, part of the it's Sefer Te'ilim, the Shira Malos, they say that bracha. So Lema Nami, Barach Hashem, Tzion, the Tuxiv, Behu, Einyano. So why don't they just continue? The Psukim over there, continue and say, Barach Hashem, Tzion, I don't remember the end of the pasuk goes. Hashem Etzion Osa Shemayim Va'aretz. So that's where the pasuk ends. So why don't they say those two pasukim also? Why don't they say that also? So the Gemara, why do they switch to a different kapitel Tehillim, different parak? Amar Amar Yehuda Berei De Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi Mitoch Sheischa Berachos Hakadosh Baruch Hu Misayim Berachos Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So once he's starting talking about the idea that that we're giving a bracha, so too it would be inappropriate to glue it with a bracha with a person is we want Hakadosh Baruch Hu showing that he gives us the bracha, not the other way around. So the Gemara says, "Ben minchasa de tanisa mayam." What do they say by mincha of tanis? Amar Ravacha bar Yaakov im avoninu anibanu Hashem asel amashemecha mikve Yisrael Moshia Yisrael Moshia beis tara lama tehei see here rather kiger baaretz and also lama tia keish niram kibar lo yuchal lo yishia. These are the psukim that we say during the time of a fast day. So this is a time because it's a special time. So we want to have like a special thing that even if we're deserving Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you should be able to answer us at that time. Okay, but Ezra Shem will pick up with Ben Ila turning on to Memon Aleph, the top of Memon Aleph, Mirta Shem, and tomorrow's daf.